ജയം വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹർഷിയില പ്രഭുപാദ കി ജയം നിത്യലീല പ്രവിഷ്ണോം വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹർഷിയില പ്രഭുപാദ കി അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവവൃന്ദക്ക് നാമാചാര്യശീല ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർ കി പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരിഗോവർദ്ധാനയ്ക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമിക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമിക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാമിക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമാനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബിൾഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബിൾഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബിൾഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ശ്രീ ഗൗരാംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശ്രീല പ്രഭുപാദ നമോ വിഷുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേശ്വരി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമീതി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വദേവം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരണേ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാ ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാനാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോർസ്തവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യദപ്രഭോ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യയതോന്വയാതരദർത്ഥേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാട് തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയെ മുഹ്യന്തി യത്സൂരയ തേജോവാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷാ ധാംനാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മപ്രോജ്ജിത കൈതവോത്ര പരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണം സദാം വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനി കൃതേ കിം വാ പരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതിഭി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭൈ തക്ഷണ നിഗമകൽപതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുഗമുഖാതമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിബത ഭാഗവതം രസം ആലയം മുഹുരഹോരസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഹ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നുമാം യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുഭേദമഭേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈപായനോ വിരഹകാതരമാജ്ജുഹാവ പുത്രേതിതന്മയതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനതോസ്മൈ യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപമതിഥിതീർഷദം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനം ഉപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണുക്കുണിതാദൃദാനനേന്ദോഃ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാ മുരാരേ മധുരീം ന കണികാഭി കാഭി കാഭി നമാ ഓം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതീ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിതി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശതാരിണേ ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശ യാസാം ഹരിഗതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദി ഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദര മന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി. കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണും ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസദാം പുരതോ മമ. മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം. ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ. സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. We saw these verses last Sunday, or so Sunday before that. Verse 24, 25 and 26. That's the three verses we're looking at, isn't it? Says, Sangalpa prabhavan kaman tektva sarvan asheshada manasai indriyagramam viniyamya samantada. Then Krishna says, Shanai shanai uparamed ബുദ്ധ്യാ ധൃതിഗൃഹീതയ ആത്മസംസ്ഥം മനക്കൃത്വ ന കിഞ്ചിൽ അപി ചിന്തയേത്. ഇൻ ദ ലാസ്റ്റ് വൺ, യഥോ യഥോ നിശ്ചലതി മനഃശ്ചഞ്ചലം അസ്ഥിരം തതസ്തോ നിയമ്യേതാ ആത്മന്യേവ വശം നയേത്. സോ ഇഫ് യു റിമെമ്പർ ഇൻ ദാറ്റ് സെക്കൻഡ് വേർഡ് ശനൈ ശനൈർ ഉപരമേത്, ദാറ്റ്സ് വാട്ട് വി ആർ ടോക്കിംഗ് അബൌട്ട്, ഇസ്ന്റ് ഇറ്റ്? ശനൈ ശനൈർ ഉപരമേത് ബുദ്ധ്യാ ധൃതിഗൃഹീതയ. കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് ധൃതി ഗ്രഹീതയ. ധൃതി, കൃഷ്ണ ഡിഫൈൻസ് ധൃതി ഹിംസെൽഫ് ലേറ്റർ ഇൻ ദി 18th ചാപ്റ്റർ, ഇസ്ന്റ് ഇറ്റ്? കൃഷ്ണ സ്പോക്ക് വാട്ട് ധൃതി മീൻസ്. ധൃതി മീൻസ് ധൃത്യയാ ധാരയത്തെ മനഃപ്രാണ ഇന്ദ്രിയാഹ. ധൃത്യയാ ധാരയതേ മനഃപ്രാണ ഇന്ദ്രിയാഹ. കൃഷ്ണസ് ഓൺ എക്സ്പ്ലനേഷൻ ഓഫ് ദ വേർഡ് ധൃതി ഇൻ ദി ഫ്രം ദി 18th ചാപ്റ്റർ. സോ വാട്ട് ഈസ് ദാറ്റ് ധൃതി? ധൃതി, കൃഷ്ണ സേസ്, it comes under three categories: sattvikam, rajasam and tamasam, goodness, passion and ignorance. So when the mind, please listen to this carefully, when the mind is completely absorbed in the thoughts of the soul and without deviating from that and goes into sense gratification, everything under its control, Krishna says the mind becomes our friend. Mind becomes our friend. Only in that case the mind is your friend. People ask this question always, isn't it? When the mind is friend and the mind is enemy? As long as the mind is absorbed in the reflection on the soul, or its relationship with the soul is established, in that situation the mind is your friend. In all other situations, when it is absorbed in the senses, sense enjoyment, worldly objects, other personalities, all those times, the mind is our enemy. The mind is our enemy. Why? Because it creates a sangalpa vigalpam at that time, different perceptions, and from that, chittavritti increases. Whereas in the absorption of the soul, chittavritti doesn't increase. That's why Krishna is saying here that the... All when the mind is not friendly, the senses are also not friendly. They also turn to be enemies. ടു അസ്. സോ ദെയർഫോർ ഇറ്റ് സേസ് ഹിയർ ധൃത്യയയാ ധാരയതി മനഃപ്രാണ ഇന്ദ്രിയക്രിയാഹ. കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് ദെയർ ഇൻ ദി 18th ചാപ്റ്റർ ലേറ്റർ ഓൺ അബൌട്ട് ധാരണ ധാരയതി. സോ ദ സെയിം തിങ് ഹിയർ കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് ബുദ്ധ്യാ ധൃതി ഗൃഹീതയ ആത്മസംസ്ഥം മനഃകൃത്വ ന കിഞ്ചിൽ അഭിചിന്തയേത്. വെരി ഡിഫിക്കൽട്ട് തിങ് കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് ആത്മസംസ്ഥം മനഃകൃത്വ ന കിഞ്ചിൽ അഭിചിന്തയേത്. സോ ജസ്റ്റ് ലൈക്ക് വി മെൻഷൻ ബിഫോർ ദാറ്റ് മൈൻഡ് ഈസ് അവർ ഫ്രണ്ട് ആൻഡ് എനിമി ഡിപ്പെൻഡിങ് ഓൺ ഡിഫറെന്റ് സിറ്റുവേഷൻസ്. Isn't it? When they come under the mind, comes under the control of the senses, then it is our enemy. For example, somebody who has a diabetes and he has been told by the doctor not to take sweets or anything with a lot of sugar. But still, as soon as he sees something, some preparations made sweet rice or something like sweets, immediately the senses take over. That means the mind surrenders to the senses. In that case, the mind is our enemy. So mind is only a friend as long as it is in relationship with the soul. That is why it says like that. In the Bhagavadam, if you look in the 7th canto, Prahlad Maharaj, while he was glorifying Narasimha, Lord Narasimha, says there, Jihvaigatochudavikarshadimavidrapta shishnonyadastagudaram shravanam kutaschil ൃക്വചകർമ്മശക്തിർ ബഹ്യാസപത്യമിവ ഗേഹപതിം ലുനന്തി യന്മൈഥുനാദിഗൃഹമേതി സുഖം ഹി തുച്ഛം കണ്ടൂയേന കരയോരിവ ദുഃഖദുഃഖം തൃപ്യന്തനേഹ കൃപണാ ബഹുദുഃഖഭാജ കണ്ടൂതിവാൻ മനസിജം വിഷഹേദധീരാഃ. പ്രഹ്ലാദ സേസ് ടു നൃസിംഹമൂർത്തി ദാറ്റ് ജിഹ്വൈഗതോച്ചുത വികർഷതി മാ വിതൃപ്ത. ദാറ്റ് സ്റ്റാർട്ടിംഗ് വിത്ത് ദ ടങ് which has dual functions, continuously all other senses are pulling me in different directions, he says. Shishnonya dasta gudaram shravanam kodaschil. All five senses of knowledge and the five senses of action, they are busy. Bahya sabatnyamiva geha badim lunandi. Exactly like a person, man who is married to four or five women, how all of them, all different vibes are pulling him in different directions. In the same situation, it is compared here. Prahlad is saying like that on the Simhamurti, that is my situation. And therefore, Krishna says here that such a person who is aware of these things, he should continuously bring the senses and the mind under control. And the only way to do that is to surrender them to Krishna. To surrender them to Krishna. Engage the senses and the mind in Krishna's service. When it is surrendered to Krishna, this problem what the mind has and the senses has got will go away. Will go away. That is the point Krishna is making here. That in order to bring that surrender to Krishna and to bring that peace inside, one has to develop that faith and determination inside. There is no alternative to this. For Dhyana Yogam, in preparation to Dhyana Yogam, Krishna is saying this, that first thing is to withdraw this mind and the senses from the sense objects. One has to decide that I want to have some peace inside. I want to have the satisfaction inside. And therefore, in order to do that, the senses must be brought under control and the mind should also surrender. Mind should also surrender. And one has to make that decision from that day onwards, that he has to chant the holy name to bring that mind under control. Only by chanting the holy name, the mind will come under control. That is the easiest process of all the processes. The mind chanting the holy name is helps to bring the mind under control. Or he has to make the other decisions to study Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam and things like that. So, little by little, bringing the sense under control and this has to come from his own determination. The person has to make that decision and determination inside and implement that in his own life. And Krishna says here, Atma samstam manakritva na kinchil abhichintayed. And Atma samstam manakritva, what does that mean? Atma samstam manakritva, that means the mind has turned towards the soul. Mind has turned towards the സോൾ ആത്മസംസ്ഥം. ആത്മസംസ്ഥം മീൻസ് ഇറ്റ് വാസ് സിറ്റുവേറ്റഡ് വിത്തിൻ ദ സോൾ. ദ മൈൻഡ് ഗോസ് ബാക്ക് ടു ദി സോൾ. ആൻഡ് വൺസ് ഇറ്റ് ഗോസ് ബാക്ക്, കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് ഹിയർ, സമ്യക് സ്ഥിതം, ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് സിറ്റുവേറ്റഡ് വിത്തിൻ ദ സോൾ ഇൻ സച്ച് എ വേ യു ഹാവ് ടു ഗോ ആൻഡ് പ്ലേസ് ദ മൈൻഡ് വിത്തിൻ ദ സോൾ. ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് അറ്റ് ആത്മസംസ്ഥം. ആത്മസംസ്ഥം മീൻസ് ടു പ്ലേസ് ദ മൈൻഡ് ഇൻസൈഡ് ദ സോൾ വിതൗട്ട് അലവിംഗ് ദാറ്റ് ടു കം ഔട്ട് ഫ്രം ദി സോൾ. വാട്ട് ഡസ് ദാറ്റ് മീൻ? How do we do that? Everybody will ask that question, isn't it? How to put the mind inside the soul? What it means is, first of all, we have to know what the soul means in Bhagavad Gita. What Krishna is saying here is, soul means the constant awareness of our existence, isn't it? That is the symptom of the presence of the soul in us. How do we know that the soul exists? Soul exists because of the presence of the this awareness in us, bodham. Isn't it? Sandrananda avabhodham. That avabhodham or awareness is the thing what makes us realize that there is a soul inside in a person, in any living entity. Any living entity, if you take, whether it's a bird, beast, animals, human species, plants, trees, everything, they all have certain awareness in them. Isn't it? That awareness or the presence of the soul is what is coming through that awareness of the existence of that particular living entity. Awareness follows us through all time, isn't it? Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. That is our Swarupam. Our Swarupam is, our actual Swarupam is, we are eternal, we are pure, we are conscious, and we are always liberated. This is our identity. That's our identity. We are free from all the other conditions imposed upon us. What are those conditions? The human gross body, the mind, the intelligence, the false ego, senses, they are all the conditions in relationship with our pure existence. So, although these elements are operating and we are identifying with them, what Krishna is saying here is that Atma Samstam Manakritva, out of that, at least the mind should go back to the soul. Mind should go back to the soul. Atma samstam manakritva. How that will happen is, Krishna says, if you know the awareness of the soul, that that what does the soul means? It is this awareness that I am existing. And that in all situations, when you find, even now, the mind is present in the soul only. Mind is not separated from the soul. But why do we feel that we are not situated within the soul? Because only one reason is that when you are in relationship with the world outside, with the outside world, different living entities, objects, persons and other things creates an impression inside us which is known as Namam and the Rupam, or name and the form. So the different names and forms which is actually created in the world outside, that means the external world has gone in and has influenced the mind. Mind, while interacting with the world outside, is in contact with these names and forms of different persons, different individuals, and different objects. And Namarupam has come in the mind, incomplete, fully. And therefore, the mind is not experiencing the presence of the soul. This is a very subtle thing. You can think about it and you will know what we are saying. That the names and different forms in this world is coming from the world outside. The mind did not create that. When the mind has a contact with the world outside, it creates different names and forms inside, and the mind gets absorbed in that. So this mind is a very peculiar thing. Nobody understands this properly. Where is it situated in the body? Sometimes we say different things. Some people say mind is here, some people say it's here. Like this, different. But therefore, mind is referred to as anirvajaniyam, one that cannot be defined. But during the presence of the soul, somehow or the other, this unusual element called mind comes out. Unusual thing called the mind comes out. Therefore it says here that if you do not have continuous flow of thoughts inside, chittavritti, if there is no thoughts inside,
then what is left behind is only the soul. So, placing the mind inside the soul means what? It means that we have to stop chittavritti. If chittavritti stops, mind stops, which means it is situated in the soul. This is the explanation for that. That is what Krishna is saying here. Krishna is saying here, Atma samstam manakritva. Basically, that's what it means. That if you stop the mind functioning, as long as the mind is busy with the world outside, it will not allow you to go back to the soul. So immediately you stop this functioning of the mind with the stop of chittavritti, thoughts that is coming through the mind, then naturally you can take it that the mind has gone back to the soul. There is nothing else to do. Mind is not a very, is not an entity which you can influence directly, but only the indirect means like this, by stopping the flow of thoughts inside, naturally the mind will go back to the soul. Then there is not mind functioning separately. That's why it says here, Atma samstam manakratva. So, our own real identity is soul, isn't it? Our own real identity is soul. So, by some reason, from Atma, from the soul, this thing called mind, which has got a lot of power, it comes up. It comes up from the soul. And by saying that, to place the soul, say place the mind inside the soul means, so we have to constantly ask this question that time, who is having this chittavritti? Where is this chittavritti happening? For whom it is happening? For whom chittavritti is happening? So if you keep asking this question all the time within yourself, you will know that as soon as you ask the question, you will immediately realize the mind goes away. The mind goes away. Because, see, the mind and the false ego, they are linked each other. They are linked to each other. Whenever our mind is interacting with the world outside in the form of namam and rupam, name and form, at the same time, while that is happening, when mind is interacting with the world outside in the form of name and form, simultaneously, false ego is also present. False ego is also present. What's happening is, as soon as you ask the question, who has this thoughts coming from? Who has the thoughts? That's more important. Actually, all the great jnanis, in the realized state, they cannot experience the mind anymore. Mind is gone away for them. So, when somebody comes to them with question about their problems in this world, they cannot answer that. Because for them, there is no perception of a problem anymore in this world. Problem is for us, because we have an active mind inside, isn't it? Once this mind withdraw, just like in the case of realized soul, for whom they are in this state, Atma samstam manakritva. They have already placed the mind in the soul. In other words, they will never allow any chittavritti to develop inside. When that happens to them, what happens is, if somebody comes with problems, because our problem is all in the mind, isn't it? It's not in the soul. The problems are all inside our mind. We come to the saintly person or a mahatma and bring all our problems to him, to asking for a solution, thinking that he will tell us what we should do and what we shouldn't do. But normally, very intelligent mahatmas or jnanis, what they will tell us is, who has got the problems? As soon as they put that question to us, immediately you can't answer. You may say, I got the problem. And then they will say, who are you? And then what will you answer? All the answers goes away. It all gets dissolved. Ask, find out who you are, they will say to you. Find out who you are. So then when you think that, you think there is no problem really. Problem goes away with that. Isn't it? You can see yourself. I mean, we sometimes get so distressed something about in life, and then we go looking for a solution all over the world, finding somebody else can help me, someone else. But actually, if you develop this thought process, if you keep asking what Krishna is, that's what Krishna is saying here. Atma samstam manakritva. Krishna is telling a certain clue of how to get this mind under control. This is all you can do. That because this thing called mind is anirvajaniyam. It cannot be defined what it is. All it does is, it causes a lot of problems. That's all it does. Nothing else. So, when we are in identification with the mind and as well as the gross body, then we have all the problems of this world. as soon as your mind goes away, and even and it is placed in the soul, like Krishna says here, Atma Samstam Manakratva. That's what the verse is saying here, Atma Samstam Manakratva Na Kinjil Abhichintayed. That when that happens, Krishna says here, anything else that fixed on the self alone and should think of nothing else. So unless one is very, very serious in spiritual life, all these things are not going to happen. That is why each verse in this Bhagavad Gita is dictating to us, if you go in this direction, they will never tell you that this is it. They'll tell you, show you the direction, go in that way. And it is up to us to take it on board and to try this. And this process, what Krishna says here is, Atma Samstam Manakritva Na Kinjil Api Chintayed. Krishna is saying here that this thing called mind, keep that in the soul. How do we keep it in the soul? Not allowing any more thoughts to come through. If you stop the thoughts, when the thoughts are coming, we have to ask the question, who is having the thoughts? Who is having the thoughts? As soon as you ask the question, you don't have to answer the question. You have to only ask the question. As soon as you ask that question, you will see that these thoughts goes away, thoughts withdraw. When the thoughts are withdrawing, automatically our identification with the jiva consciousness, which is the false ego, immediately disappears. False ego is only there when you are busy with the mind and the senses. But when the mind is absorbed in the soul, or when this question is asked inside, that is why all the jnanis will ask this question. As soon as you go there, they will ask you this question, who has got problems? If you say that you have got problems, they will say, who is this I you are talking about? Which I? Who is this you who are referring to? So then all this problem disappears. That is spiritual life. Spiritual life means that not allowing the mind, intelligence, false ego to involve in our pure identity, or separating them out from our identity. That is why it is spoken like that. So that is what Krishna says here. So, who am I? When I refer to this, that if you keep on observing this with full alertness, you will see there the false ego disappears, the mind also disappears, and the only thing what you experience at that point is your own existence, as you are. I am existence, my own existence. You become aware of that. And that is not your personality, existence of the person. Personality is linked to false ego. Personality is not linked to the soul. We misunderstand that personality is what we are, isn't it? That's why all this personality development and all kinds of things what we talk about, that's all relationship with the false ego. Soul is consciousness. That is not nothing to do with the ego. It is consciousness. And what does that consciousness mean? Awareness all the time, I'm existing. That's my main thing. My only thing, indication I have all the time, in all three states of existence, and even after leaving this body, is my own existence. My own awareness of my own existence. That will never leave us. In all situations, it does exist. So, this is what Krishna says here as the placing the mind, Atma Samstam Manakritva means that. That Atma Samstam Manakritva is only possible, that means you can place the mind in the soul, only if this thing called mind stops its work. Not allowing any thoughts to come through. So, in order to do that, what do we have to do? The first and the easiest process to start with is to chant the holy name. There is no other better method than that. Everyone accepts that in every tradition. In every parambara, they will accept this process, at least to start with chanting the holy name. Once we chant the holy name, in due course of time, you will see that slowly the mind and the senses will withdraw. And at that time, what will happen is that in the form of the holy name, this mind will absorb in the soul. It is a duty of the holy name to take our mind towards the soul. That is what the holy name does. Krishna's holy name is powerful that in their presence, all these thought processes will withdraw. So, devotee has to follow that process. That is the easiest process. Whether they are jnani, whether they are devotee, they all do the same thing. These things has no change at all. For jnanis as well as for the for the even the greatest jnanis, even also you will find them chanting the holy name. Why? Because holy name has this, as soon as some great mahatmas also, sometimes they also get affected by this world, not that they are not free from that. They also get, due to vyavaharam in this world, as long as there is vyavaharam in this world, there will be disturbances also. But in such situations, their advice is to chant the holy name very loudly. If you chant the holy name, you will feel immediately this influence or the thought processes going away and mind comes under peaceful state, comes into a peaceful state. So, what happens is that, as I mentioned before, Namam and Rupam, name and the forms that is present inside, they withdraw. When all the chittavritti, all the activities of the mind, when it becomes very subtle, when it becomes very subtle, and that is what is called the mind. See, chittavritti, in its when it becomes very intense, and it becomes more finer and finer inside, that means it becomes more subtle. That is when the mind becomes very energized. And that chittavritti is called the mind. For example, what happens is when you are chanting the holy name, what happens is when the sound becomes very subtle, that becomes our chittavritti. In other words, the holy name becomes the chittavritti inside. So eventually it goes and dissolves in the soul. So when there is no chittavritti, that state is called, Krishna calls it as, that's our swarupam. Swarupam means our pure existence or nature, our identity in other words. And that is full of peace and satisfaction. So at that state it says that when you look at the sky and when there is no clouds present there, and the sky is very clear and all the stars are visible. In the same way, Krishna says here that that point you can experience the purity of the soul. You can experience the purity of the soul. And that peace, what you experience at that time from the soul, is our swarupam. Swarupam means our identity. Our identity is like that. So actually, we have to keep endeavoring in that direction. In other words, what we have to do is that while engaging in all these activities, one should not look for the results. This is how in spiritual life it is. You see, in the material life, we are always looking for the results, isn't it? You will see, if I do this, what do I get from that? That's our transactions in this world. That is the very nature of the world. In spiritual life, you can't take that approach. You have to keep doing things without caring for the results. Only then it will happen. Otherwise, it won't happen. But every time if you are trying to measure what's happening to me in my spiritual life, then you will see that nothing is happening. You will be stuck there. It won't go. Because this is our problem. That this attachment to the results, to our actions, all our actions. If the results don't come, we don't want to continue. We start thinking, am I wasting my time? These thoughts will come. But in spiritual life, if you take that approach, that I am doing all these things, but there is no results coming, what should I do? And if you start evaluating yourself, then there is a problem there. Because it doesn't happen like that. That's what Krishna says here. That let anything happen in this world. Let people carry on doing what they are doing. Doesn't matter. But on the other hand, if you start looking for all the results, whether it's happening, for example, just as an example itself, since I'm talking from Bhagavad Gita now, and I'm talking about all these things, if I start thinking, have everybody understood, and is everybody following it, and everyone is having the benefit from that, then I'll be in trouble. If I start doing that, I'll be in serious trouble. So all you can do is to say what the truth Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, according to one's own. But the thing is that the benefit of speaking is not that if it has happened to somebody or not. That's not the factor that decides everything. Whether, and that is Krishna calls it as yajnam. in the third canto chapter, isn't it? Yajnam is this, that you keep doing what you have to do in this world, but without caring for what happens, whether it is benefiting others or not, that is another thing. And if you start, the benefit is not for others, benefit is for oneself. And when you start looking whether others are getting benefited or not, that is where the problem comes. What it is that Krishna says here, as soon as you keep on looking at that that if your own inside, you will experience a happiness from doing things to others, doing these things, that yajnam. And that is why Krishna says here that such a person, Krishna calls it as karma yogi. His karmam is in the improperly situated, that without caring for the results, what's happening from there. If he engages in that activity, Krishna says it is karma yoga. As far as Krishna is concerned, that it is possible to act as though one is a karma yogi. But karma yoga is not so simple. So as long as you are absorbed in the karma yoga and busy with that, that if it is bringing happiness inside, Krishna says here that his selfishness will disappear. And as long as keep on working like that, normally when the mind operates in this world, mind gets disturbed very much, isn't it? So as long as you are taken up some responsibility, the very thoughts of it creates tension inside, sometimes sleepless nights, and even little things can cause this problem. So this is why if you look into all the great personalities, they have managed to deal with this world in a different way. What Krishna is saying here, Atma Samyam, Atma Samstam Manakratva. If you remember, during the independence movement in India, at that time, Mahatma Gandhi had a lot of problems, isn't it? Managing a whole country with all types of leaders and all kinds of politics, and all sorts of problems like that. You can imagine the difficulty in organizing a countrywide movement to mobilize it. It was so much demanding for him, isn't it? But Mahatma Gandhi used to sleep very well at night. He used to sleep at night very well. So his secretary and others, they were asking him, how do you get such a good sleep? He says, when I go to sleep, I don't take them with me, I leave them there. That fine control over the thoughts he had. So that is why. Why? Because there was no selfishness in there. That is another side to it. There was no selfish interest there. He was working, operating Krishna, full understanding that Krishna has given this body, it has a purpose for which it has been given. And he took up that approach in that way in all his activities, so there was no disturbances inside. And therefore he could sleep well. So this is why it is said that Dhyana Yogam is like that. When the proper Dhyana meditation happens, one can withdraw from this world to such a finer control over the mind. So in the Ramayanam, Valmiki talks about Rama, about this, isn't it? About Ramachandra. He says here, said that Ramachandra, he maintained the dharmam or religious principles of this world, and also he maintained his own dharmam. What was that? He was able to maintain that balance while managing the country from Ayodhya as a king. Ramachandra did all what he has to do, but inside it is always in the realized state, but no change at all, or is always peace, happiness. And in the middle of that, there was no tension at all. So while during the independence time, when there was this Dandi Satyagraham, that is Mahatma Gandhi has started at that time, they were going towards that Satyagraham, and there were other leaders also along with him. But although Mahatma Gandhi was an older person, he was walking at a much faster pace than anyone else. Nobody else could catch up with him, because so much relieved from the body that he was able to do things in such a way. And he chanted the holy name of Ramachandra, and Ram, holy names he has chanted, and he kept walking. and others could not get catch up with him, and they were asking him that how come you are able to push your body like this. Mahatma Gandhi's reply was, I was not thinking about my body, I was thinking about the holy name. That is how he was absorbed in chanting the holy name. So these things are there in the history. If you look, these are examples, known examples. There are many, many, many great personalities who have also lived in the same way, unaffected by anything, by the mind. So when one is situated in one swarupam is what? That is the situation with identification with the soul. Krishna says here, na kinjil, na kinjil abhi vichintayet, isn't it? Na kinjil abhi chintayet. So, if you come to that state, na kinjit abhi chindayet, these are all requires practice, Krishna says there. Na kinjit abhi chindayet. If a person who is in spiritual life, who wants to follow up through this Dhyana Yogam process, he has to study this chapter very seriously in order to create that Dhyanam. Many people do, they do study this very seriously, and you can see that in their life also, how it affects them. They are free from unnecessary entanglement in this world. Even if so many things are going around, doesn't disturb them. They are free from that. Whatever happens at home, whatever happens at work, it doesn't disturb them. Why? Na kinjit abhi chintayet. They have learned this Atma Samstam Manakritva. They have learned to bring the mind towards the soul. So this is one's own practice. This cannot be, because it requires 24 hours vigilance from one side. It is not possible to teach someone as a mechanical process. It cannot be done. Understanding Bhagavad Gita and following up through in one's own life, that's the only way it will happen. But there are statements in the Upanishads tells us what we should do with the mind. What we should do with the mind. That is there. For example, in Mandukya Upanishad, there is a statement about the mind like this. Laye sambhodaya chittam vikshiptam shamaye punaha sa kashayam vijaniyat samapraptam na chalaye. Mandukya Upanishad is saying that mind falls into different states, isn't it? In different conditions. Gaudavada Acharya says this, that layam sambhodaya chittam. Sometimes mind gets dissolved, layam. It goes into that state. Into the state means that it is not waking up in a kind of a dead state. It's not functioning at all. Dead state means it hasn't gone to the soul. Rather, it is in a very layam. Layam means in a dissolved state. Practically no interest in anything, but in a latent state. It stays like that. Layam sambhodaya chittam. He says here, vikshiptam shamaye punaha. So when that happens, that somehow or the other, you have to wake up that mind from that state. And the easiest process to do that is to chant the holy name. To chant the holy name. Or loudly singing some prayers to Krishna. Loudly singing some glorifications of Krishna. Some prayers, whatever it may be, whichever you are attached to or attracted by, any prayers to Krishna. Or the best thing is to chant the holy name. If you do that, layam sambhodaya chittam. Mandukya Gariya says there that Gaudavada Acharya says, layam sambhodaya chittam. That layam will go from the chittam. And vikshiptam shamaye punaham. So somehow or the other, either through chanting the holy name, or through sankirtanam, or by chanting some prayers, or even otherwise absorbing the mind in some thoughts, you have to wake up the mind. You have to wake up the mind from that state. And what else he says? If it is in the vikshiptam stage, vikshiptam shamadam shamaye punaha. Vikshiptam means that suppose you have got a lot of thoughts coming through. Suddenly you got very agitated with something. Some agitation happened in the mind. You got some angry with someone or someone upset you very badly. Something happens like that. And that is called vikshiptam state. What happens then? A lot of thoughts starts coming in, isn't it? At that point, Krishna is saying here, Mandukya Upanishad is saying like this, that immediately you should be able to chant the holy name or reflect on things and able to bring it under control, bring it into the peace of mind. A state of peace has to come. Or in other words, chittavritti should come down at that stage. Laye sambhodaya chittam vikshiptam shamaye punaha sa kashayam vijaniyal samapraptam na chalaye. So, in a situation like that, that if it is in a mood off state, just like we talked about Kashayam state, isn't it? Kashayam means there is no interest to do anything, completely in a state where you feel totally, totally in a off mood state. You don't have no enthusiasm to do anything, no interest in anything. If that happens at that time, what should one do? That's also, it says here, sakashayam janiyar samapraptam na chalayel. It is at that time, you should withdraw from that and stand as a witness and observe the mind. This is the Mandukya Upanishad's words. So, it says, the three states that happens to the mind, we talked about, isn't it? Layam. Layam, Vikshiptam and Kashayam, the three states. If it is Layam state, we should chant the holy name and wake up the mind and bring it into action. If it is falling sleepy or always feeling very dull and depressed, in that case, you should do this. That you should chant the holy name or chant the, some prayers which you like to, or even bring such powerful thoughts from the Shastram which will wake up the mind from its dullness, from that dull state, from that dull state. So, layam vikshiptaya chittam. Then he says here, vikshiptam shamaye punaha. Layam sambodaya chittam vikshiptam shamaye punaha. That vikshiptam, that means when there is too many thoughts coming through, because these are opposite situations, isn't it? Sometimes too many thoughts come and we get very disturbed over that, unable to think properly even. Even in that situation also, one has to chant the holy name and bring the situation under control. These are the processes what the acharyas are telling us. The Gaudapada Acharya, who wrote this famous commentary on Mandukya Upanishad, it's called Mandukya Kariga, that is where he is saying this, that layam sambodaya chittam vikshiptam shamaye punaha. And then the third state, kashayam. Sa kashayam janiyad. As soon as you know you are in the state of kashayam. Kashayam state means, that means this, you are gone off mood. You are not in a mood to do anything. Simply want to, simply a indifferent nature. Neither you are depressed totally, nor you are in a very agitated mood, but in a sort of a state where you have no interest in anything. Isn't it? You can understand what I'm saying, isn't it? Sometimes we are very active inside the mind when you are disturbed over various things in this world. Isn't it? That is called vikshiptam. Vikshiptam means these three states are only existing for the mind. Kashayam, vikshiptam, layam. Layam state is when you feel sometimes depressed or dull and wants to go to sleep. At that time you feel, oh, if I sleep, I'll be better off. That's when people want to sleep, isn't it? Because there is no taste for anything. Completely depressed about it, you want to go to sleep. You see, there you like to sleep, isn't it? Sleep is the best shelter. Why? Because as soon as you go into deep sleep, you lose your body, you lose your mind as well. So, as soon as you lose your body and lose your mind, you are in your Swarupam, in your pure identity as you are. And therefore, there is no disturbances there. This is the secret behind it. That why do we say Sushupti state is the best state? Because it is in Sushupti, you don't have the body, you don't have the mind either. Sushupti means the deep sleep state. It is in deep sleep, you don't have the body, you don't have the mind, and you experience the maximum happiness there, in that state. Why? The body, you realize at that time, this so-called mind and the so-called body only creates problems, never gives me any happiness either. So, therefore, that Sushupti state, what you are experiencing in the deep sleep, we are craving for that. When problem comes, we know that that is the place where we should be, to escape from all the problems of this world. But because we don't know the Shastram behind it, what happens is, but in practical experience we know the solution is there. So therefore, if everything goes wrong in this life, what do? You take, pull the quilt up and sleep for a couple of days. Isn't it? All of us do that. At some time or the other, when you can't do anything with this world, it's not going to change. And whatever you do, it's not going to work. But you can see, the soul knows what it needs. The soul knows. Everybody knows this. This is why Bhagavad Gita is such a fantastic literature. that it's not telling us something that, oh, don't worry about anything now. When you die, everything will be fine. No, right now here, Bhagavad Gita is telling us the solution also to the problem. He says, as soon as you come to your spiritual identity, all problems are gone straight away. Everything is gone. Problems are there due to our identity with the mind, identity with the body. But as soon as you lose your identity, you can see you are happy. Therefore, that is also an inspiration to us to look for self-realization. Krishna is saying to us, only when you go back to your own pure identity as the soul, you will be happy. Till then, don't look for all this patch-up work through the mind and through the body, through the senses, trying to find any happiness. So that is the purpose of spiritual life, isn't it? To realize the self. Why we say self-realization, self-realization? It's only for this reason, that only in self-realization, all our problems are solved once for all. Otherwise, there is no solution. All other solutions are temporary. You solve one problem, there will be another problem waiting immediately after that. So, that is why it says here, Layam sambhodaya chittam vikshiptam shavade punaha sa kashayam vijaniyad then samapraptam na chalayed. So, the mind, when it is in the in that dull state or when it is in a depressed mood or something, you should bring it back into life again by engaging in chanting the holy name. If it is also, if you try to sleep at that time, often what will happen is that because these thoughts are disturbing inside or the mood is not so good, you may not be able to even sleep. So sleeping is not actually the solution to the problem. It is how to bring this mind under control. That's why Krishna is saying here, sa kashayam vijaniyat. If a kashaya state comes to you at that stage, the only thing he is suggesting to us, Krishna is saying to here, that in that case, that kashaya sthiti, when that develops, he says here, stay outside and observe that state. Observe the state of kashaya sthiti of the mind, which requires training for inside, isn't it? It requires training. There are people who are training, doing all these things. Don't believe that nobody else is doing that. A lot of people are doing that because they have taken Bhagavad Gita seriously in their life. They have studied Bhagavad Gita and all these things have been very deeply analyzed and minutely analyzed, and they take everything on board and practice it in their life and they find the benefit also. Otherwise, it will all be a waste of time. If it is just theory, Krishna is talking. No, it is there. Many, many yogis practice this. And jnanis also, devotees also, who do all these things. They take Krishna's instructions very, very seriously. They don't ignore Krishna's words. They take Krishna's instructions very seriously. So that is why it is in that state, Krishna says here, all the chitavrittis will stop. And if you're able to observe this chitavritti separately, samam praptam, Krishna says here. And he also mentioned in that verse, Shanai Shanai Uparamed. If you look into that verse, you will see. Shanai Shanai Uparamed. Why? This will not happen one day. It cannot happen in one day. It has to happen Shanai Shanai. Shanai Shanai Uparamed. That's the process. That means step by step, you do that. Don't do it in a rush. It won't happen. Shanai Shanai Uparamed. Uparama means that that to bring and to keep this under this control. So when we do that, he says here, when the intelligence with a great alertness, it takes all our thought processes and allow them to dissolve in that way, atma samstam manakratva, the mind will go and stay in the soul. And that state, that steady state, that state, Krishna says here, that na kinjit abhichindayet. Once you have reached that state, then you should not disturb that mind anymore with other thoughts again. With other thoughts again. Samapraptam na chalayet. So, that state is called samasthiti. You know that there is two states. Samasthiti and vishamasthiti it's called, isn't it? Samasthiti is this one, when the mind goes back into the soul. When the mind is busy with the senses and sense objects, it's called vishamasthiti. It's called vishamasthiti. So, when you reach that samasthiti, samasthiti, by practice, if you have reached that state, at least everybody, if they try, they can also get that state. It's not that it's impossible. But when you reach that state, Krishna says, you should not disturb that mind again. By what? then you start thinking, oh, let me read some book, let me watch some program on the television. And if you start thinking like that, Krishna says, the mind will again start moving. Samapraptam na chalayel. As long as one can keep the mind in that state, Krishna says he should try that, as long as possible. And if it still moves after that, it will move. It is not going to stay like that. It will move again. If that happens, what one should do? That is the next verse. 26. Yato yato nishchalati. Manaschanchalam astiram. Tatastato niyam meidat. Atmanyeva vasham nayed. Yato yato nishchalati. Manaschanchalam astiram. Tatastato niyam meidat. Atmanyeva vasham nayed. Translation. From whatever and wherever the mind wanders due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must certainly withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. Yato yato nischaladi manas chanchalam astiram tadas tado niyam meidad almanyeva vasham nayed. So, yato yato nischaladi manas chanchalam astiram. So, astiram, mind by nature itself, it won't stay anywhere. Permanently, it will not stay. In any place, it won't stay. So, if you go and keep it somewhere, it will jump out from there. It will jump out from there. If you focus on some particular form, then even then, it will jump away from that form. So, that is the nature of the mind. Tadastado niyameiva. So, whatever that is happening, Krishna says here, tadastado niyameidad, whatever cause is causing that for the mind to go away in that state, at that time, if that is happening, you have to talk to the mind at that time. You have to talk to the mind. What do you have to say to the mind? You have to say to the mind, what will happen if you go after that particular sense object? Particular sense object. So, if it is going in the wrong places, if the mind is going in the wrong places, when we say wrong places, what does it mean? Anything outside the soul is all wrong. Faulty places. It's not that it's only going into sense gratification, but anywhere, in any kind of dreaming, in any state, when the mind goes away after different objects, immediately you have to look at the object and talk to the mind, saying to the mind that these are the problems if I go after that particular object. So, and this you have to convince the mind. But if you do that, you can see one thing, that the mind was born from the soul, isn't it? Mind took birth from the soul. So, Almanyeva Vasham Nayed, Krishna says here, if you look at the last line, Almanyeva Vasham Nayed. So, because it was born from the soul, the place where it has to go back is also the soul. Where it has come from, it has to go back there. Isn't it? So, the only thing is, Krishna is saying here, Almanyeva Vasham Nayed. That means, if it goes back to the soul, then it will find its happiness there. It will find its happiness there. Otherwise, the mind will get driven by the various other thoughts in this world. If one constantly practices this, that this situation will come true. So, when it goes there, that's happiness, when the soul, when the mind turns towards the soul, is different. And that's a different kind of happiness. And that one will experience when one trains their mind in this particular way. Just like normally, we get happiness in this world. From what? From sense gratification, isn't it? Or fulfilling our false ego. When our desires get fulfilled, we feel happiness. Various things. Either through sense enjoyment or sense gratification. Or when our desires get fulfilled, or our plans have gone well, and the false ego feels happiness from that. In all these situations, mind gets happiness. But the difference is, The happiness that is derived from all these things won't last very long. It goes. And a few minutes or a few hours, it goes away. But this thing, when you have trained the mind to go towards the soul, you will experience a kind of happiness. That happiness is such that when you lose it, you will know how worth it is, how worthwhile it is. Why? Because that happiness, Krishna is saying here, that it brings shanti inside, peace inside, without any rajogunam. It's purely in the sattugunam, And that is what Krishna is saying, how you differentiate the mind's relationship with the world outside and connection with the soul. In order to explain that, Krishna puts it in the next words. Prashanda manasahyenam yoginam sukham uttamam upaidi shanda rajasam brahmabhudam agalmasham prashanda manasam hyenam yoginam sukham uttamam upaidi shanda rajasam brahmabhudam akalmasham prashanda manasam hyenam yoginam sukham uttamam upaidi shanda rajasam brahmabhudam akalmasham. Translation: the yogi whose mind is fixed in me verily attains the highest happiness by virtue of his identity with the Brahman. He is liberated, his mind is peaceful, his passions are quietened, and he is freed from sin. So, in this, Krishna is saying, first of all, Krishna talked to us the importance of Atma Samstam Manakritva, taking the mind towards the soul. That is the first step. So, while doing that, Krishna says, lot of problems will happen, but through practice it is possible. Krishna also gave us the clue that how the mind, when it falls into three different states, what should be our dealing, how we should deal with the mind in that state, isn't it? Vikshiptam, Kashayam and Layam. In these three states, how we should deal with the mind, Krishna has spoken, and that is in the Mandukya Upanishad also in detail. Having said all that, then Krishna is saying here that the mind is by nature, even if you try all these things, if you try very hard, even if you follow it up, by training, Krishna says it's possible. Shanai shanai ubaramed. Little by little, if you practice it, it will happen. So, the three states of the mind and the problems in that three states, how to keep the mind under our control and not allowing the mind to go away. Krishna spoke that, and then he says that shanai shanai ubaramed. It should be done in a steady way, in a slow and steady level. It should happen. And once that is done, Krishna says, mind will stay. Alpanyeva vasham nayed, he said, isn't it? Alpanyeva vasham nayed. You should draw the mind towards the soul. And while it is having the attention on the soul, it is not going to stay there. It will fall again. And while it falls, Krishna says, how to bring that back? That is what is spoken here. Prashanda manasam hyenam yoginam sukham uttamam. So, when the mind is absorbed in the soul, that state, Krishna calls it here prashandam. Prashandam means peaceful, shanti inside. There is shanti inside. Prakarshena shandam manaha. That is prashandam. Prakarshena shandam manaha. So, what is the difference? You see, shanti happens, or peace happens, in various ways inside, isn't it? For example, as I said before, that if all your plans in this world are happening the way you wanted it to happen, or desires are getting fulfilled, there is a kind of shanti you experience. But that shanti is different than the shanti what Krishna is talking about here. This shanti, Krishna says here, is that when there is no desires inside, all vasanas have gone away, and pure shanti, which is from Brahman realization, comes here. Prakarshena, that peace, Krishna says here, when it becomes stronger, that shanti from what? Shanti from the Brahman realization, when vasanas have gone away from inside, and we experience that shanti inside, and when that shanti gets strengthened inside, when will that happen? whenever absorption in the soul becomes stronger. Now here is the point we have to note. When Krishna says here that Prashanta Manasam Henam Yoginam Sukha Kalmasham Upaidi Shandarajasam Brahma Bhudam Akalmasham, he says here, isn't it? So what does that mean? It means that the jnani follows the process of the absorption in the soul. The devotee follows, surrenders that mind to Krishna. That's the only difference. Absorbing in Krishna means surrendering the mind to Krishna. That's what absorption in Krishna means, isn't it? If you surrender your mind to Krishna, you are absorbed in Krishna. Why? That is it. That's finished, the mind. But because we can't surrender the mind so easily towards Krishna, in that way, so some people, what they do, the jnanis, what they do is, they absorb in the soul. They absorb in the soul. In other words, through the process of Bhagavad Gita's and Krishna's instructions in Dhyana Yogam, and in the next chapter also, they take this approach of taking the mind towards the soul. Taking the mind towards the soul. Because if any shanti has to come, it has to come from the soul. It's not going to come from anywhere else. When we say come from the soul, it comes from Krishna, in other words. So either way, it has to go back to Krishna. Either through the soul or through Krishna. By surrendering to Krishna. Devotee surrender the mind to Krishna, and that way he reaches the state of mind, peaceful state. The jnanis, they go towards the soul with the mind and absorb the mind in the soul, and the soul in that process disappears. The mind in that process disappears. So either way, mind is our greatest enemy. So therefore, he has to be somehow or the other brought under control, isn't it? In Bhagavatam also it is said, isn't it, that atra sargo visargascha sthanam poshanam udaya manandaram ishanugatha nirodham. Nirodham is this. Nirodham means control, bringing the mind under control. So yogi, so shandarajasam. What does this shandarajasam? What does that mean? Why does it say shandarajasam? As long as there is rajogunam, there cannot be shanti. This is the important thing. Any person, when there is rajogunam inside, he will never be peaceful. He can never be peaceful. So, sattvam, rajasa, tamasa, the three modes of nature, out of that, he will experience that state of happiness which is free from rajogunam. The yogi experiences happiness which is free from rajogunam, and because in tamogunam, there is no question of shanti at all. No question of shanti at all. There it is all, it is neither disturbed. It's a dead wood, isn't it? Dead wood. It won't catch fire. It will lie there. For that, there's nothing you can do about it. Isn't it? In the Bhagavatam you will see there, when the Pativat Dharano Bhuman, isn't it? That verse in the first canto, he says, when a spark of fire falls into the ground, if there is dry grass, it will catch fire. It will catch fire. The grass is not so dry, but normal grass, it may not catch fire, but it may not die also, it will stay a while. But if it is completely wet, the grass, what will happen? Immediately the spark will get extinguished. So, or the wood also, if you take for that matter, if the wood is very dry and it is ready to get ignited, the fire is ready to come out, as long as you set fire, it will burn. If the wood is wet, or if the wood is not dry enough, it won't catch any fire. It will struggle to get fire. If it is very wet, the wood won't get the fire won't get in. It cannot catch fire. So tamogunam, rajogunam, sattugunam is like that. In tamogunam, it is very wet. The wood is so wet that no matter how much fire you put on, it's not going to catch fire. So that's why in spiritual life we say, if somebody is in tamogunam, it's a hopeless state. Hopeless. Nothing you can do about it. Till you have to wait till that person comes out of tamogunam. There's nothing else you can do. This is that wet wood state. The wood which is very, very wet. Rajogunam, there is some hope. Because the first thing, although he is very disturbed, and this you can see in bhakti process also, the one who is in rajogunam, when he is absorbed in devotional service, he wants to make sure the whole world knows about this devotional service, isn't it? Therefore, we have to make all kinds of, all the websites we have to put on, everything what you are doing in this world, whole world should know. Because I am doing, that rajogunam will come out in that pattern. You can't do anything about it. Over a long period of time, he will realize it was all a waste of time at the end. All the energy that was spent in that direction was completely a waste of time. You can see that because it's not that all these lectures that's coming on the website, everybody is listening and reading and hearing. Who has got time for all that? They're all busy with their own life. But it is still coming every day, on time, every time. So, but when you see that, you can see who is motivated by all these things. Who is getting this? What is coming out of this? So, that is this rajogunam in that person is operating in that way. Is he happy that he's there? Is there, everybody should know that I'm still around and kicking. I've not left this world, still I'm there. So, so that's what it is. But in Satugunam, it is not like that. There's a big difference there. That's why Krishna uses that word here, Fiyukdhar Upaidhi Shandarajasam. Not with the Rajogunam, that Shandarajasam it is, that Brahmabhudam Akalmasham. That, how is that? Is in the Shandi, is the nature of Brahmam. Brahmam's nature is Shandi. So, that state, when he is in that peaceful state in Brahmam, Brahmam realization as it is called, there is no chittavritti inside. If there is no chittavritti inside, and then that means it is in the Brahmam realized state. So, nishchalada, or steady state, is that the prashandam manasam hyenam yoginam sukham uttamam upaiti shantarajasam brahmabhudam akalmasham. Brahmabhudam akalmasham. So, mind will not stay like that because it's just like the so many rivers, they flow towards the ocean, isn't it? They flow towards the ocean. So similarly, mind, and what happens once the, no matter how many rivers flow into the ocean, they lose their identity at that point, isn't it? There's no more river after that. So many great, great rivers, Ganga River, Yamuna River, Godavari, Kaveri, Saraswati, all kinds of rivers flow into the sea. But once they go and join, their identity is gone. They don't exist anymore. So similarly, when the mind also goes towards the soul and absorbs and gets dissolved there, then there is no more identity for the mind. So there, it is there that the mind get itself destroyed in that process. So that is what is called Namarubam. Namarubam, Brahmabhudam Agalmasham, it says here. Isn't it? Brahmabhudam Agalmasham. Brahmabhudam Agalmasham. So, what does Kalmasham means? You know this word Kalmasham. Kalmasham is an important word in the Shastram. Kalmasham actually means that you may have heard about this. Kamam, Krodham, Lobham, Moham, Madam, Matsaryam. These are the six things which are in connection with the mind. Kamam means desires, isn't it? Kamam, krodham, anger, and lobham, greed, moham, delusion, isn't it? Lobham, moham, madam, always proud, and malsaryam, wants to compete with others. These are the impurities of the mind. All these things together, that this word has come, kalmasham. The word has come from that. Ka is for kamam, la is for lobham, ma is for moham. All of them together is called kalmasham. Kama, krodha, lobham, moham, madam, malsaryam. All of them together is called Kalmasham. And so Krishna says here, Upaidhi Shandarajasam Brahmabhudam Agalmasham. That means, only if one is free from this Kalmasham. Kalmasham means all these problems with the in us, inside us. Agalmasham, free from Kalmasham. He will be, because these are all part of Rajogunam. Rajogunam. It is from Rajogunam that all this has come. Rajogunam. Brahmabhudam Agalmasham. He says, Upaidhi Shandarajasam Brahmabhudam Agalmasham. Free from these six things. Kama, Krodha, Lobham, Moham, Madam, Malsaryam. These are not spiritual. They are all totally material qualities. Coming from where? Coming from Rajogunam. Out of the three modes, Rajogunam supplies all these six. These six things is supplied by Rajogunam. And there, when those six things are there, there is no Shandi inside. Therefore, Krishna says here that the Upaidhi Shandarajasam, that Rajogunam should be taken out, which is a product of all these six things, and Brahma Bhutam Akalmasham. In both two lines, Krishna says freedom from Rajogunam and freedom from Kalmasham. Only then it can be in Sattvagunam. Why is it like that? Tamogunam is not spoken here, have you noticed? Only Sattvam Rajas is spoken. Why? Tamogunam, there is no point in discussing about it. So Krishna also has left it. You see, Krishna also has left Tamogunam. There is no point in talking about it. Till he is ready, we won't discuss Tamogunam. So because there was not so much time in the battlefield while Bhagavad Gita was spoken, and it was no time to discuss about the Tamogunam. Tamogunam is the worst thing, isn't it? It's a hopeless situation when Tamogunam comes. Sattvam Rajas Tama Iri Buddheya Na Chalpana. Earlier Krishna has spoken that to Uddhava, isn't it? Sattvam Rajas Tamas, all these three modes of nature is in the Buddhi. Na Almana, it's not in the soul. Not in the soul. So as much as we absorb in the thoughts of the soul, what Krishna is saying here is that one day, if the Sattvagunam increases in a person considerably, he will realize that this very body what he is in is not me. That will happen to him. Swarupam, when Swarup, that is how self-realization happens. When this process goes on inside, eventually he will realize, right now we are thinking this is my Swarupam. I am this body, I am this body, I am this body. But when this self-realization process gets powerful inside, and one has gone through this Dhyana Yogam process continuously, eventually what will happen is that the identification with the body goes away. Goes away. How does it go away? He is not conscious of the existence of the body itself. That leaves him. That leaves him. Dehastobi na dehasta. He realizes, although he is inside the body, he doesn't know that he is that body. He doesn't think anymore like that. It's only a small switch moving from one thing to another. But it is difficult to find that switch where to move. That's the problem. So we all know these things, isn't it? That's why spiritual life is a vibrant thing. It's not something that I will do today and I'll wait for the results 30 years later. That is no use. There's no guarantee in all these things, isn't it? It has to happen right now here. Today when we hear this message from Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam, immediately we should go in that direction and start working in that way. Thinking that if this is true, if this is not my Swarupam, why am I in this state? And Krishna is giving you all the answers there, saying to us that your Swarupam is not this body. This body is not in your Swarupam. Your Swarupam means your identity. This body doesn't exist. So if you accept this, simply accept it within yourself, then that is a big step in spiritual realization. If you simply accept it. But if you keep on saying, oh no, I want to be nice to the whole world and everyone is friendly to me, this, that and the other, then you will be lost. You won't get anywhere. It won't help. That's what I am saying. While studying Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, we should take Krishna's words very seriously. We can't just ignore it and keep on hearing Bhagavad Gita every day but not willing to change. That's no good. That's what Krishna is saying here. That if you keep on with this, shanai shanai uparamed, little by little if you take that step, eventually one day you realize that this so-called body is not my Swarupam. It's not my identity. So the body will leave you at that point without any effort. It is only a question of moving that realization from the body towards the soul. That to make it easier, Krishna has spoken like this. That so, after saying that, Krishna says there that Brahma Bhutam Akalmasham, that this state will happen to him through continuous process of dhyanam. And how this will happen with this process, what Krishna has spoken here, Brahma Bhutam Akalmasham, how that will happen is in the next verse.
Yunjan evam sadatmanam yogi vigada kalmasham sukhena brahma samsparsham atyandam sukham ashnute യുഞ്ചൻ ഏവം സദാത്മാനം യോഗീ വിഗത കൽമഷാം സുഖേന ബ്രഹ്മ സംസ്പർശം അത്യന്തം സുഖമശ്നുതേ. യുഞ്ചൻ ഏവം സദാത്മാനം യോഗീ വിഗത കൽമഷ സുഖേന ബ്രഹ്മ സംസ്പർശം അത്യന്തം സുഖം അശ്നുതേ. സ്റ്റഡി ഇൻ ദ സെൽഫ്, ബീയിങ് ഫ്രീഡ് ഫ്രം ഓൾ മെറ്റീരിയൽ കണ്ടാമിനേഷൻ, ദ യോഗി അച്ചീവ്സ് ദ ഹയസ്റ്റ് പെർഫെക്ഷൻ സ്റ്റേജ് ഓഫ് ഹാപ്പിനെസ് ഇൻ ടച്ച് വിത്ത് ദ സുപ്രീം കോൺഷ്യസ്നെസ്. നൗ വെൻ യു റീഡ് ദീസ് വേഴ്സസ് യു മസ്റ്റ് നോട്ട് തിങ്ക്, ഓ ഐ എം നോട്ട് ഫോളോയിങ് ദിസ് പ്രോസസ്, ഐ എം ഫോളോയിങ് സം അതർ പ്രോസസ്, ഐ എം എ ഡിവോട്ടി, സോ ദിസ് ഇസ് നത്തിങ് ടു ഡു വിത്ത് മീ, this is all invalid for me, only I am concerned with the 12th chapter, that's all what I am going to study. That is not how you study Bhagavad Gita. All these things apply to all yoga processes, whether you are a jnani, whether you are a yogi or karma yogi or a devotee, doesn't matter, they apply to everybody. Even though our sadhana may be centered around bhakti, that is another thing. Our sadhana process, just like chanting the holy name, that's our main sadhana, isn't it? Chanting Hare Krishna, that's our main sadhana. That sadhana, maybe our sadhana part is correct. That is what a devotee will follow, that route. Jnani may follow another route. But this realizations of these concern, it applies to all. Nobody is excluded from that. If a devotee, after chanting the holy name, one day, even if he has not studied all these things, Krishna will make this information into his head, get it into his head. He has to, you know, because this is the state for everyone has to go through. Whether you are a jnani or a yogi or a devotee, doesn't matter. That's why while studying Bhagavad Gita, we must learn this, not to exclude everyone from everything and separate it, because it makes easier for us then, isn't it? Only one or two chapters are to take notice of. No, the message of Bhagavad Gita is not like that. Bhagavad Gita is a science of the soul. So while studying that science, you have to look at from all aspects. Jnani will go through one way, devotee will go through another way, yogi will go in a different direction. It doesn't matter. But all the realizations that is coming from Bhagavad Gita is very much the same. It's going through the very much the same. And they all have to know each other very well. Jnanam, yogam, bhakti, they're all together traveling at the same through the same consciousness. That's why Krishna says here, steady in the self, because here there is nothing mentioned about a devotee's role in these verses, isn't it? But steady in the self, being freed from all material contamination, the yogi achieves the highest perfectional stage of happiness in touch with the Supreme Consciousness. Supreme Consciousness. In other words, Jivahanda or the false ego inside has gone completely, and the Bodham inside, pure consciousness of the living entity, he is in touch with the Supreme Consciousness, Krishna. So when that happens, naturally all these things what Krishna has spoken, yogi vigata kalmasha, he is released from the all the after effects of that. That's why he says here, yunjan evam sadatmanam yogi vigata kalmasha sukhena brahman samsparsham atyandam sukham asnude. Brahma samsparsham, what does brahma samsparsham means? Brahma samsparsham means that he is in contact with the Brahman. Supreme Consciousness is Brahman, Krishna. All the same thing, but spoken in three different words in different places, that's all. When it is spoken through the jnani, it will be spoken as Brahman. When it is spoken about as a devotee, it will be spoken as Krishna. But it is one and the same thing. Yogi Vigata Kalmasha. So, as soon as we give attention, Yogi Vigata Kalmasha, Krishna says here, isn't it? What happens at that stage is, all kalmasham goes away. As I mentioned, kalmasham means kalama, which is kamam, krodham, lobham, moham, all those things, the six things. Vigata kalmasha, they have left you, they have gone away. And you don't know where they have gone at that point. When that happens, you don't know, even know where they have gone. They have gone away. And they have left you and gone away. And that is called bhakti. That is bhakti. When these things have left you and gone away, you can stay, you have bhakti. In the current world, our bhakti is all how we can beat up each other in every area. Who can do better than the other? So full of malsaryam, isn't it? That is not bhakti. Madam, pride, I've done this, I've done that. Now I'll ask Krishna for my I've done all this for you, what have you done for me? There's no surrender there, isn't it? So that is full of kamam, krotham, lobham, moham, madam, matsaryam. But when that's all gone away, then that's bhakti. That's all bhakti means. This is what Krishna is talking about. It's not much different. That bhakti means that. So that's Krishna is saying here, it's the easiest process also. That in the bhakti process, that if you continuously execute the process of bhakti, without our knowledge, all these weaknesses will go on its own. It will leave us. You don't have to run for another course to get rid of all these things. If it is like that, then the whole Bhagavad Gita will be full of courses and seminars only. Isn't it? It doesn't work like that. What Krishna is saying here is that Vigata Kalmasha. Kalmasham will go. You don't have to worry for it. Execute bhakti. That's what Krishna is saying. Execute bhakti, Kalmasham will go. Don't put your attention on Kalmasham. Put your attention in bhakti. That's more important. Attention in bhakti means chanting the holy name topmost. Studying Srimad Bhagavatam next. After that, following Krishna consciousness strictly as best as one can, as is spoken in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Absorbing in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, most important thing, no doubt. But sadhana is chanting the holy name. If these things are done, Krishna says, you don't have to worry about kalmasham. What is this kalmasham? But nowadays, our tendency is that we have created all these kinds of things, which is peripheral things. They are not important. They are completely peripheral issues. Why do we have to worry about kamam, krotham, lobham, moham? They will not... Why we are busy with that? Why? Because we have no bhakti. That's why. That's why we are busy with all these things. We think that we can wipe out all these things by our effort. Krishna says, no, it won't happen. When there is bhakti inside, there is beautiful stories in the Srimad Bhagavatam to prove these things. You know the story of Randideva in the Bhagavatam. Everybody knows, isn't it? There is a story of Randideva's story. I think it is in the sixth canto. That Randideva was a great personality, a great king. And this Randideva was very truthful to his words to others and wanted to sacrifice everything for others' happiness in this world. That was his nature. It's a famous story. So, one instance, what happened to Randideva was there was no food. There was a lot of famine and shortage of food in the country. And Randideva at that time was starving. He had no food because he was a king. But he will only take his share when the people were starving. He was not going to have a feast on his own. He says he was in a distressed state. People have come to him for food. He had no food to offer. And he was in an extremely distressed state at that time. In order to test him, the three demigods came together, Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva. They all came together asking him for food. And there was little food left. He started offering it to them. And he had to go through a lot of distress before the demigods appreciated his kindness, kind in nature, in sharing food with others. And they gave him a lot of blessings to him later. And Randideva became very famous. In the Bhagavatam, it's a famous story. At that point, there's a famous commentator on Srimad Bhagavatam says like this, that if you try to go through any process, for example, some people say, if you are very truthful in this world, it is very good. You will have ultimate success in spiritual life. Some people say, if you perform a lot of charity in life, you will become very devotional. Naturally, you will get rid of develop all the transcendental qualities. But according to the Bhagavatam commentator, he says that it is only shown in the Bhagavatam to tell us, don't go after all those things. Better than all that is to follow the develop Krishna consciousness. That is a better process than any of the other things. Because Krishna consciousness is so powerful. If it develops properly inside, these things are no value. They cannot stand in front of the bhakti. Bhakti becomes so strong inside, all these things will disappear in a natural way. They are not to be, you don't have to deal with them separately on its own. That's why Krishna says here, Yogi Vigada Kalmasha. Vigada Kalmasha means they are left on their own. You didn't have to get rid of them on your own. You didn't have to work in that direction. So, then he says, Sukhena Brahma Samsparsham Atyantam Sukham Ashnute.
So that it says here that then Brahma Samsparsham means that the your experience of the self-realization, it will teach you on its own. It will come on its own. So Samsparsha means touch, touching Brahma. How that happens? This is, if you want to see this, you can see in Rasa Krida, Rasa Dance. In Rasa Dance, how Gopi spoke about that. That Yogi Gamyam Anubhavayan. There, that it says there that Gopis, when they were in the peak of their Rasa Dance, they were actually experiencing Brahma Anubhavam. They were not experiencing the Anubhavam of this world. That means Yogi Gamyam Anubhavayan. And Kaminiradhi Yaminishugalu Kamaniyakanidhe Bhavan. That when Krishna's Rasa Dance was going on with the gopis, the experience or the bliss of the gopis was Brahma Sukham. He says, Yogi Gamyam Anubhavayan. Brahma Shankara Mukhanupiha Pashupanganasu Bahumanayan. Bhakta Loka Gamaniya Rupa Kamaniya Krishna Parivahimam. It says there that when gopis were experiencing this transcendental happiness while Rasa Dance was going on in Krishna's association, Brahma, Shiva and others, Indra and all the other demigods, they came there and they started paying their obeisances to the gopis. Brahma Shankara Mukhanubiha Pashupanganasu Bahumanayan. They were paying their respects to gopis. Bhakta Loka Gamaniya Rupa Kamaniya Krishna Paripahimam. That experience of the gopis, when they were experiencing that bliss of Brahman realization in Krishna's association, Shiva, Brahma and others noticed that. So they came and paid their respects to gopis. They came and paid their respects to the gopis. This will happen. Any jnani or any great devotee, when they are self-realized and when they have reached that state of self-realization, all the other great personalities, they come and pay their respects to him. This is how it is. Because there is no more false ego element there in that. The person is freed from false ego. Naturally, they are respected for that from a higher level. So that is what Krishna says here, that that in the gopis' case, this is particularly important. So so when this happens, when this state, Brahma Bhutam Akalmasham, Yoginam Eva Sadatmanam Yogi Vigata Kalmasha, Sukhena Brahma Samsparsham Atyandam Sukham Asnute. What else happens there is that at the moment we have this identity with us in our false ego, isn't it? I am so and so. And that expands in various forms. Identification with the land of birth or with a particular society, community, country, or in different ways, the identification. All that identification is in relationship with the soul. In relationship with the false ego. Is in relationship with the false ego. But when Brahma Samsparsham happens, what Krishna says here? Brahma Samsparsham. Then you realize your proper identity, what you are. You are not realizing anymore, thinking yourself to be anymore as the false ego. False ego. You realize that it was a false ego which doesn't have any genuine existence. So when that happens, Krishna says here, Atyandam Sukham Asnute. Atyandam. So look at the words Krishna has used. Atyandam. Atyandam means that happiness from which you cannot fall anymore, which you will be craving after that. Then in front of that happiness, all other happiness in this world becomes actually no value. No value at all. So because this happiness is so high, the nature of this happiness is atyandam. Atyandam means that atyandam means that happiness, once which you have tasted, do not want to lose it again. So once you got a little taste of it, then you will not endeavor anymore for material happiness in this world. That is the point. That's why Krishna uses the word atyandam. Atyandam sukham asnude. Atyanda sukham. Earlier, you can see there also in the Canto 11, Ekadasha Skandam. You will see there, Kavi Maharshi was asked this question, isn't it? Shri Krishna twal padobasanam abhayadamam baddham ithi artha drishter martyasya artyasya manye vikasadimanam yena sarvatmanayva. So,
Shri Krishna Tolpadavasanam. Kavi Maharshi says there that by surrendering and serving Krishna completely, what will happen to us is Tolpadavasanam Abhayadamam, that shelter Krishna's lotus feet, takes that shelter and that upasana or that service to Krishna in that way. Bhattamithya artha drishti, artha drishti, mithyartha drishti, as it is called in the Vedantam. Mithyartha drishti means everything is mithya in this world, if you really look at it, isn't it? What has got any meaning to this world? Can you find any meaning in this world? We come here, we fight a lot to get this, get that, and one day we leave everything and we walk out from here. This is simple, our explanation to this life. You can't give anything more than that. So, mithya, something which is mithya, in which you have put artha drishti. Artha drishti means you are given as to a reality to it. Something which is false, you are given a reality to it due to the power of maya. Maya has given us mithya artha drishti. Martyasya artyasya manye vivasaradi bhayam yena sarvatmaneiva. Due to this association with the matter and due to this false identification with the body or the self and also identification with the all the other external objects, what has happened to us is vivasaradi bhayam. There is always fear inside. Fear has come from that side. And that fear goes away. Kavi Maharshi says there, that goes away as soon as one finds shelter in the soul or shelter in Krishna. Shelter in the soul or shelter in Krishna. That is where only at that point the fear will go. Otherwise the fear is not going to go. Manye kudaschil bhayam achyudasya pada ambujo basana matra nityam uddikna bhugne asadalma bhaval. If you look into Bhagavadam, in the Ekadasha Skandam, you will see these verses. Manye kudaschil bhayam achyudasya padambhujo basanam atra nityam uddigna bhugne asadalma bhaval. Asadalma bhavam, everything we are holding on to in this world is asat. Asat means which has no sata. Sata means which has no reality. So everything what is not real, asat, we are holding on to that in this world and trying to find happiness through asat. Krishna is saying here that asat buddhi has to go. In Bhagavad Gita also Krishna begin with, is that, isn't it? Sat and asat, he spoke about that in the second chapter. So the same thing here, that once that goes away, atyandam sukham asnude, that atyanda sukham will happen to that person. So normally what happens is, when Brahma samsparsham happens, or when the soul is in connection with Brahmam, or Brahma samsparsham, Brahmam realization happens, Dvandvam goes away. Dvandvam means duality. Duality, what we experience as though we are separate from Krishna. That goes away. That we are separate from Krishna. All through our life, what we are experiencing here, I am separate, Krishna is separate. I have no connection with Krishna at the moment. Isn't it? We are thinking, Krishna is living here, I am living in Stanmore, or I am living in Lechmore Heath, or wherever that is. Krishna lives in, of course, Krishna lives in Lechmore Heath at the moment. So this is very deeply embedded inside us, isn't it? Krishna is not anywhere else, he is only in Lechmore Heath, nowhere else. Or somewhere else, another temple, you may say like that. But this is ignorance, isn't it? This is ignorance. Show a place where Krishna is not present in this world. That's the way we have to look at. That's what Krishna is telling us. There is no place in the world. It is difficult to show a place where Krishna doesn't exist. So Brahma Samsparsham is that realization that there is only Krishna exists in everything. There's nothing else exists in this world. It's Krishna who exists everywhere. And that realization when it happens, it says here, atyandam sukham ashnute. That perfection of atyanda sukham will happen at that time. Why? Because at that time, you have lost this perception in the world of different identities. It's Krishna who is present everywhere, in every living entity. It's only Krishna is present, nothing else. So, at that point, the fear goes. Why fear goes? When there are two things, one has to be fearful of the other. But when there is only one thing, Brahman, present everything, where is the question of fear? We are also Brahman. And Brahman is present in everything. And Krishna's presence is in everything, is experienced at that point. Therefore, he says, Dvandvam goes away. And where do you find this? In Bhagavadam,
when these things are spoken, it's spoken through stories. It's spoken through stories. There you will see this example, Prahlada's example. Prahlada, what happened to him? Atyandam sukham asnude. If you remember, what was happening to Prahlada? What is interesting in Prahlada's story is, you know, Hiranyakashipu treated Prahlada very badly. Everybody knows that, isn't it? He kicked him, beaten him, and threw him from the mountains to the ground. And snakes were used to bite him. And what else? Oh, many things like that, isn't it? Torture. Real torture has happened. Hiranyakashipu's administration. So the CIA or FBI or whatever, Hiranyakashipu's, they did all what best they could, isn't it? But have you noticed Prahlada was not affected by anything, isn't it? Prahlada was not affected by anything. You start wondering, isn't it, what kind of material was Prahlada's body made of? That he was set fire and he was thrown into the sea and his body, nothing has happened. And Bhagavatam is telling us that nothing has happened to Prahlada. And sometimes it's very difficult to take it. Isn't it? People, when they read that, they'll think, these are all stories. How can you believe this? Isn't it? How can you believe all these things? It's a bit difficult, isn't it? That Prahlada is only a 5-year-old boy. And Hiranyakashipu was the greatest demon in the whole creation. Hitler and all can't stand anywhere near to him. Even so much torture has happened. And still, Prahlada came out of it very well. Okay, if you ask a devotee, what will he say? He will say, Krishna has protected him, he will say. He won't say anything more than that. Because he will only say, Krishna has protected him. But somewhere inside the heart, the question will be there. How did he get protected? I mean, Dharma, how did Krishna protect him? I mean, what was his body made of? Was it steel or was it some other material? All these questions will definitely come in anyone's mind. That is where all these Bhagavad Gita's importance is. What actually happens is that Prahlada was realized when he came out from the womb. Already he was initiated in the womb, isn't it? Narada Maharshi initiated him. When he came out, this realization was complete in him. Which means that everywhere when what he saw was Krishna. Krishna graha grihid alma, Bhagavatam says. Captured, it was like a planet like Rahu, Kedu and Saturn. A planet like Krishna has captured him. When a planet captures somebody, you know very well what happens. If a planet like Saturn, if it is in a bad state, like we say, isn't it? 7.5 years, Sade Sati or something, they say like. So, when a planet, you are under the control of Saturn, very heavy planet, Saturn, 2.5 years, it holds you in a very bad state. And when it comes to the 12th and birth and positions, 3 consecutive times when it comes, 7.5 years it lasts. Everyone goes through that state. If you look into your horoscope, you will see, go and ask somebody, some astrologer, they'll tell you that. So these 7.5 years, you will go through very hard time. Many, many things can happen in life which will be very distressing. It'll come and it'll go, and then some good times may come after that. And so, a planet can capture you. And sometimes some of these planets, like Saturn, Rahu, Ketu, they are planets which gives a lot of distress in life. This is from the astrological calculations. Why I'm saying that is not that we should go to astrologer to consult. But Krishna graha grihid alma, in Bhagavatam says like this, when Krishna, the planet Krishna captures you, Prahlada was in that state. He was so much Krishna conscious he was, that everywhere, when snakes were sent to bite him, in the snakes he was seeing Krishna. In the ocean when he looked, it was Krishna. The mountains when he was thrown, it was Krishna. From the 7-story building, when Hiranyakashipu threw him out, he is seeing Krishna standing at the bottom to hold him. Just see, that is Brahma Samsparsha, what is called here. That is Brahma Samsparsha. Which means that if you start seeing Krishna everywhere, then Krishna won't hurt you. Krishna will protect you. So even if it was a snake which Hiranyakashipu has used to bite Prahlada, that snake also at that particular moment cannot bite Prahlada. Why? Krishna has entered inside there. What to do? So this is the beauty. Jnanis all knows these things. That is why Jnanis particularly, they know that the secret of this, the philosophy of Prahlada, is Prahlada was seeing in everything only Krishna, nothing else. And when he was thrown from the mountain, and Hiranyakashipu himself was in shock seeing this, that he was doing everything, but nothing was happening to Prahlada. Why? Because in everything, Brahma Samsparsham has happened to him. Brahma Samsparsham means this, that his connection with Krishna, that he is realizing this, I am the soul, and Krishna is present there in that as the soul. There is no more enmity there. There is no more inimical feelings towards that living entity. Even what to talk about the mountains and the rivers and the wild animals, all of them, when Krishna saw them, when Prahlada saw them, he never felt any fear from them. Never felt any fear from them. This can happen only when Brahma Samsparsham happens. If you look into Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes in the Jharkhand forest, all the tigers and the lions and deer, they were all chanting Hare Krishna and singing and dancing. How did that happen? This is Brahma Samsparsham. That when this happens, a devotee or a jnani, it doesn't matter, whoever it may be, when they are in that state, there is no enemy in this world anymore. As for example, if you see a tiger now, say tiger comes in now into this room, what will happen? Immediately we pull back, isn't it? We'll go through that door out. So why? Because there is fear inside about that. But if this realization comes, what Krishna says here, that is also Brahman. Tiger is also Brahman. And the elephant is also Brahman. The snake is also Brahman. Everything is Brahman. Brahma Samsparsham. And we are also Brahman. We are also Brahman. So when that realization happens, the feelings like fear, anxiety, all these things disappears. And then they all act in one tune according to rhythm, same rhythm. All of them operates in the same music. So there won't be any fear after that. That is the secret of that Prahlada's dealing with all the other things, all the other different living entities, how Prahlada met with them. That's what it is showing in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So while talking about Brahma Samsparsham, so Krishna used that word Kalmasham, isn't it, in that verse. So this Kalmasham is the main obstacle in our spiritual progress. In our spiritual progress. So sometimes people will say so many things that they've gone in. Those who are practicing meditation, yoga process, they will go for meditation processes and they will say, come out, and they will say that, oh, I have practiced meditation, I have seen some light somewhere. They say, somebody has seen some light. And there will be various kinds of experiences. Said, so, you can see here that if you tell them that they are following the yoga process, and sometimes yogis will say, Kundalini wakes up inside. Listen, Ashtanga yogis will give importance to Kundalini. Kundalini yogam, there is a yoga like that. Kundalini wakes up inside. So when you say these things, sometimes people feel happy because they feel that they are making some progress in spiritual life. Some progress in spiritual life. So Krishna's point is that if somebody asks a question like that, and if he is feeling that he is making progress in spiritual life, Krishna says there is kartrutva buddhi there. Kartrutva buddhi, you know what it means. What it means is that I am doing that. So that means he has not freed himself from that identity with the body, with identity with the body. It's only in the advanced state of consciousness, in spiritual life, advanced state of consciousness, that I am the doer will leave him. Only in an advanced state it will go. So if a yogi comes back who is practicing yoga and says to us that I am practicing this yoga process and I have seen this light, that means still he is very much on the platform of I am the doer. I am the doer. That has not left him yet. Till that leaves, Krishna says, you will not be able to experience this Brahma Samsparsham. Brahma Samsparsham will not happen to him. So, when does that happen? When your meditation process is complete. When is it complete? When the person who is performing meditation disappears. You know what I'm saying? That when the meditation process, what Krishna is discussing in this chapter, when his own identity disappears, he loses that. At that point, only meditation exists. In Shastram, the word used is Tripudi. Tripudi means that I am existing, the world is existing, and the process is existing. All these three things have to disappear. Tripudi. All Tripudi goes away. That means I am existing, the world is existing, and the process exists of the meditation process. But when proper meditation happens, I go, the world goes, and the process becomes one. Everything becomes into one. This is only the process that exists. In other words, dhyanam exists. But in there, my existence is not important. The world also doesn't exist anymore. Tripudi goes away. So, that is why it's mentioned, Vigata Kalmasha. So in this same thing, this what is explained in this chapter, happens to a devotee in a different way. In a different way. How does it happen to a devotee? For a devotee, it is that he surrenders completely to Krishna and to the spiritual master. He has to surrender completely to the spiritual master and Krishna. If he surrenders completely, that ego disappears from him. When he completely surrenders, ego disappears from him. So that is why all the advanced devotees, that means we're talking about advanced means, those who are in the platform of Krishna calls it as in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is Ramayana to Uttama Bhakta. Bhagavadottama, isn't it? Bhagavadottama it is mentioned. Bhagavadottama, when they have reached that stage, they will not find any fault in anyone. They will not find any fault. They have reached that stage. But we should not artificially put it up that I have reached the Bhagavadottama, now I won't criticize anybody. That will be completely false. It has to happen through bhakti. Through bhakti it has to happen. So that what's what Krishna says here. For a devotee, when he comes to that state, that naturally he will withdraw himself from all other activities of this world. And that is what Krishna says here. So in other words, both the spiritual side as well as the material side, he has handed it over to Krishna. Yoga Kshemam Mahamyaham. It says there in the Bhagavad Gita. As a devotee, for a devotee who has offered everything to Krishna, who has surrendered everything to Krishna, and who has taken completely Krishna's shelter, for him, it is possible that Krishna will arrange Brahma Samsparsham for him in that way. So, So, I mentioned this also before, but it is the best example we can think about this. That in Ramayanam, when Vibhishana's story, isn't it? You know, I've talked about that before, isn't it? Vibhishana, it is a famous in the Ramanuja Sampradayam. They give a lot of importance to this Vibhishana surrender to Ramachandra. When Ramachandra came and was camping there, near Setu, before they entered into Sri Lanka. They were waiting there to enter. So at that time, there was a lot of discussions in Ravana's palace, what we should do. And Ravana was asking for advice from Vibhishana and other Kumbhakarna, Indrajit and everybody. So Vibhishana gave him this advice. His brother, isn't it, told him that do not fight with Ramachandra. You have done a great fully wrong thing by bringing Sita Devi here. Take Sita Devi and offer that to Ramachandra and surrender to him. You will not experience any problem. Ravana did not take it very. We would not accept that. So after many days of discussions, Vibhishana decided that it's no point in wasting time here anymore. Rather, I may as well go and see Ramachandra and take his shelter. When Vibhishana left the palace, three Rakshasas also joined him. So four of them came to see Ramachandra. When they came to see Ramachandra, at that time what happened was, all the Vanaras, monkeys who were Ramachandra's army, they all came and reported to Ramachandra that Vibhishana has come and he is looking for shelter. So before Vibhishana came, Ramachandra asked everyone for their personal opinion about it. Ramachandra asked first one Angada or somebody like that. She said, no, we should not let him in. He is a spy. He is coming from the other side to spy on Ravana's behalf. We should not accept him, he said. So Ramachandra asked opinion from others, one or two people. When he asked Jambavan said, we can accept him, but we should put some restrictions on him. We should put another spy to watch his movements, whether he is genuinely with us or is he still with Ravana. So like that. So different opinions were brought up at that time. When it came to Sugriva, Ramachandra asked Sugriva, and Sugriva said, no question of accepting him. Ramachandra says to him, why? He says to Ramachandra, that he is a person who has actually betrayed his own brother when the time suited him, when it suited him. Valmiki says at that time, Ramachandra did not answer that statement. Just looked at Lakshmana and smiled, seeing the nature of the people. Why? Sugriva has done exactly the same thing, isn't it? He has betrayed his own brother Bali and got him killed by Ramachandra. And now he is saying to Ramachandra, oh, you should not accept him because he is betraying his brother. So this was Sugriva's logic. So Sugriva said like that. Ramachandra even didn't reply that. Then he called Hanuman and asked him. So Hanuman said, we should accept him, he said. So Ramachandra accepted that invitation, that request from Hanuman, and told Vibhishana to come. Vibhishana came with three Rakshasas who were with him. See, this word Rakshasa is a very interesting word. I don't know whether you write it down and look at that word yourself. Put that word, Rakshasa, isn't it? If you turn it backwards, what does it mean? Sakshara, isn't it? Sakshara means one who is very educated. So basically what it's saying is all these educated people are all demons. All Rakshasas, in other words. That's what it means. This is just a pun they make out of it. Anyway, so Vibhishana came. Along with him, these three Rakshasas also came. Ramanujacharya was sitting in Srirangam temple and he was discussing this Vibhishana surrender in length. Valmiki Ramayanam, he was reading out and talking about everything about Vibhishana's surrender. So there was one person who was listening to this very intensely, and he was such a good listener that he will not go away as long as there is Ramayanam was read by Ramanujacharya. He will sit there and listen to him. So he's sitting and listening to this, and when this instance came, suddenly he got up, took his cloth, put it on his shoulder and walked out from there. When he left that place, Ramanujacharya asked him, wait a minute, where are you going? He said, because he is normally a very good listener. Suddenly he is listening to the story and he gets up and he walks out from there. So he says to Ramanujacharya that I'm not staying anymore, he said. Ramanujacharya says, what happened? He says to Ramanujacharya, it's like this, he said. This Vibhishana, poor man, he has left his only shelter, which was Ravana. Yeah. Ravana has given him shelter, after all it's his brother. He had all the facilities in the palace and he was well cared for. And he gave this advice to Ravana to surrender, but he didn't listen, but he could have stayed back. But something in his head, he thought that he'll come and take shelter of Ramachandra, and he came here. But what has happened to him? He came here and Ramachandra kept him waiting in the sky for a long period of time while all this discussion was going on between the monkeys and Ramachandra, whether we should accept him or not. See, Krishna doesn't accept so easily, isn't it? He discusses with his devotees, should we accept us? That is why closer devotees, Krishna always consults them. He doesn't just, if he walk in there and says to Krishna, I've come now, will you take me? He's not going to take us easily. If we have some relationship with some devotee who has Krishna recognized as a devotee, only then. Krishna has to recognize him as a devotee. If he recommends, then he will accept us. Otherwise, not. That is in the Bhagavatam, very clearly mentioned. Nalakuvera and Manigriva kept on glorifying Krishna. Krishna says, what are you talking nonsense to me? That was Krishna's mood. Just stop all this nonsense. Only, there were two trees standing there, isn't it? The little boy, 5-year-old boy, Krishna went with the mortar and pulled both the trees down, and Nalakuvera and Manigriva stood there. Their famous prayers in the Bhagavatam saying that you are this, you are that and all that. He didn't want to hear anything else. He just wanted to get released from the rope. That's all Krishna wanted at that time. He kept on glorifying, nothing was working. So Nalakuvera and Manigriva, they are intelligent people. They are son of Kubera, isn't it? So they understood that there is some link missing between us and Krishna. As soon as they mentioned Narada Maharshi's name, Krishna started listening very seriously, all the prayers. So similarly, unless there is a link between Krishna and a devotee, and through that devotee if you go, Krishna will accept. Otherwise it's very difficult on our own. So here what happened was that Vibhishana came here and Vibhishana surrendered to Ramachandra, but Ramachandra is not accepting. He's making a discussion. Meeting is going on. Just like you can see sometimes, you go to some of these public offices, meeting is going on all the time. There's meeting going on. What this meeting is all about, you don't know. But there's meeting going on. Everybody is in the meeting. He's in the meeting. Nobody is available. So you come back. Next day, go another meeting going on there. So it's meeting. So this Ramachandra's meeting was going on there in the same way. Vibhishana comes and is waiting there in the sky and does not know what's going to happen. He's in that state at the moment. Eventually, out of Hanuman's request, Ramachandra allowed him to come. So Vibhishana comes and Ramachandra accepted Vibhishana, isn't it? So this listener who was listening to Ramanujacharya, he says to Ramanujacharya, I understood one important thing here, he says, that all Vibhishana who has no shelter to go back to, which he has completely left, which is Ravana. And here Ramachandra has not even accepted him and kept him in waiting for such a long time before Ramachandra could make a decision. What chance have I got? He said, if you start opening my case, what will happen? There's no hope, he says. I'm going, he said. I'm not wasting my time anymore with this so-called spiritual life, he said. Ramanujacharya was so clever in the sense that he wanted to make him realize it's not that complex, he said. He said, when Vibhishana came here, with him, three other Rakshasas have come. Isn't it? Other Rakshasas have also come. So when Vibhishana was accepted, they were also accepted along with him. This is that devotee's power. So Ramanuja says to him that if you are even a Rakshasa, doesn't matter. If you are with us, you will get through. You don't have to worry. If you take your own individual case and start examining, then there is a problem. You won't get through. That's definite. But because you are with us, if somebody gets through from this group, you will also get through along with them. This is the power of bhakti. That is the important point Bhagavatam is telling us. That Ramayana is also telling us the same thing. That in Krishna consciousness, getting that association of a devotee like that, who is accepted by Krishna, that is where the shelter is. Shelter is not in Krishna's shelter, in that devotee's shelter. But that devotee has to be someone who is so dear to Krishna. Who is so? And then the whole process is so simple. You don't have to chant your rounds. You don't have to study Bhagavatam. Whatever prasadam you get, you can eat it and happily go along to the spiritual world. There's no more coming back. This is how that process works. Bhakti process is like that. That is why the more we absorb in satsangam, you don't know who will make it. Anybody will make it. But you have to be in the group all the time.
So somebody makes it, you will go along with that group. You will get through. So not to break the group. That's the more important thing. That's what Krishna is saying there. That Brahma Samsparsham can happen to anyone. You don't know who is dear to Krishna. Anybody is dear to Krishna. Who is practicing Krishna consciousness seriously? And who is pleasing Krishna? Who is acceptable to Krishna? Nobody knows about that. So, having said that, he says here, Injan evam madatmanam sadatmanam yogi vigadakalmasha sukhaena brahma samsparsham atyandam sukham ashnute. Atyandam sukham ashnute. So, Sharanagati means, so, everything he has surrendered to Ramachandra and and everything, that surrender of Vibhishana, why is it so proper, important? Because he had everything, isn't it? Vibhishana had everything. Vibhishana was not short of anything. In spite of all that, he was willing to surrender. So that surrender is more powerful, much more, a proper surrender Vibhishana has done. Therefore, it is given importance to that. So once a person took sannyas, and what happened was he fought with his wife. A lot of sannyas happens like that in this world. They fight with their wife and they go and take sannyas and go. Go away. And so after third day he came back. After the fighting is over, he went away and the third day he came back. So the wife asked him, why have you come back? So the husband who has fought with him, he says, I had taken the betel leaf, but I forgotten to take the betel nuts with that. Because you know when you have the betel leaf, you take the betel nuts as well with that, isn't it? I've come back for that. He wanted some excuse to come back. So he used some vague excuse like that to come back. So that is not the situation here. That Vibhishana's case was, that he has given up everything and come. That is not easy. Vibhishana Sharanagati is famous, isn't it? That he had all the facilities in Sri Lanka, in the palace. Ravana has provided him everything. Ravana's brother, good position, good facilities, everything was fine. In spite of that, he gave up all that connections and came to see Ramachandra and surrender unto him. Not even knowing whether Ramchandra will accept me or not. Just imagine that state. You have left because you can't go back to Ravana again. He's not going to accept you. He will kick you out from there as soon as he goes back. Either kill you even. That's what was waiting for him if he goes back to Ravana. So he cannot go back to Ravana. Here, Ramchandra has not even accepted him. So imagine Vibhishana's state. That is surrender. So when we say we have nothing to take shelter of, except Krishna. And when we surrender in that way, that is surrender. Now you know what surrender means. Surrender means that there is no other shelter in this world except if Krishna looks after, protects us, we will survive in this world. If Krishna doesn't protect, everything is gone with that. Proper, this is what Sharanagati Bhaktivinoda Thakur's songs are talking about. That's the Sharanagati. What we say is, we have got initiated, we have got all everything going very well in the, plus we added spiritual life also into it. We have surrendered. What surrender? That surrender what Krishna is talking about is this Sharanagati. What it says here is this. That the, at that stage, then that there is no interest that, except Anjaneya Swami, Hanuman knew that Vibhishana has come in this state. And there is no question of sending Vibhishana back. Because he has surrendered properly. Proper way he has surrendered. And it is at that point, if you look into Valmiki Ramayanam, Ramachandra makes a statement. Anyone who surrenders to me like that, it is my responsibility to protect him, even if it is Ravana, he says there. That is how magnanimous Krishna is, Ramachandra is. Then if he has surrendered to me properly, looking after him, protecting him is my responsibility. He makes a bold declaration in the Ramayanam at that stage. A very, very bold declaration at that time. And he says there that it is my duty to protect them and nobody else, he said, for such a person who has surrendered in that way. So therefore, Vibhishana Sharanagati is famous in the Ramayanam.
So after saying that, he says here, that is why while executing sadhana in spiritual life also, without this surrender, if sadhana goes on, it will not help. If you remember, mam ashritte yatandiye, Bhagavad Gita says that, jaramarana mokshaya mam ashritte yatandiye te brahma tadvidu krishnam adhyalpam kamachaghilam. In the 7th chapter, Krishna says, even while you are executing the sadhana, for example, chanting the holy name, and while chanting the holy name, continuous surrender must be there. Because there is no surrender, even after so many years of practicing chanting, nothing is happening. This is the truth. We chant the holy name for several years, isn't it? 20 years, 30 years, devotees have been chanting. And these 30 years, chanting has gone on, but surrender didn't happen. And when the surrender doesn't happen, Krishna says that mama ashritte yatandiye, you should continue with your effort, yatnam. Yatnam is effort. Mama ashritya, completely depending on me, you have to execute the sadhana. Only then it is proper sadhana. That is why our sadhana is not showing its results because of this reason. That surrender is not there. Bhakti process is nothing but surrender. If there is no surrender, there is no bhakti. We all are our own units, individuals operating in this world, and that surrender process is completely hampered by because of the false ego and also the shelter we have taken in the matter as well as in the body. So therefore, this statement is important. Mam ashritte yatandiye te brahma. Krishna says that jaramarana mokshaya, those who are wanting to free themselves from the cycle of jara and maranam, that means old age and death, mokshaya, and they are looking for liberation, this is how they execute their spiritual life. Mam ashritte yatandiye. If you execute the spiritual life in that way, that is why even while chanting the holy name, if the surrender is not there, it's not a mechanical thing. Surrender is this chanting the holy name is eventually to come to closer to Krishna. That means super soul who is sitting inside, Krishna is present inside as the soul, super soul inside, isn't it? Our spiritual life has to be centered around that super soul inside. And that connection has to be established in all situations. Only then that process will work. What does that mean? It means the state without any false ego, completely freedom from false ego. Only then it will have its effect. Only then it will have its effect. So sometimes the mind will move. Mind cannot be brought under control. So you can see when you want to chant the holy name properly, also it's not so easy, isn't it? There are so many obstacles even while executing. We will say, okay, we have got this 10 offenses against the chanting of the holy name are as follows. We will say the 10 offenses and after that it's forgotten. After that it's forgotten. It is never taken seriously while chanting, because by the time we start taking attention of all the 10 offenses and then chanting the holy name, all it becomes too much to cope with. So normally as a routine thing, we say these 10 offenses, but when it comes to one or two we may follow, which are not too difficult. But that one particular offense, what we say while chanting without any attention. This attention, what does it mean? Attention means this, that complete surrender to Krishna inside, complete surrender to Krishna. When that has not happened, it is not surrender. And then even if the mind moves away, then in that situation also Krishna says here that that the surrender is important. So so after saying that, Krishna says here all this in this verse, as Krishna spoke here before, that yinjan evam sadatmanam yogi vigata kalmasha sukhena brahma samsparsham atyandam sukham asnuti. That atyandam sukham asnuti, when the false ego goes away from inside, when the false ego goes away from inside, that is the point of surrender to Krishna. That's the point of surrender to Krishna. That's why even while chanting the holy name, if our thoughts are absorbed in such a way that this false ego don't come in and start operating. If I start thinking, I am chanting, that is false ego, that I am chanting. That itself is a false ego. I am comes there, isn't it? The ego has a role to play there. So as much as that the thought of I and my presence in all actions, that I am the doer, when that goes away, Krishna is saying here that prashantam adigacchati, that he will be peaceful inside, his relationship with the soul blossoms. Relationship with the soul blossoms. Otherwise it's not possible. Just like when you pay obeisances, sometimes people say, dandavat pranam, isn't it? They pay, they are falling down, the whole body on the ground. So, actually, that kind of obeisances, paying obeisances with full flat on the body, in strictly speaking, the person's state of consciousness is more important than whether the body is all touching the floor or not. Sometimes we say the sashtangam. Sashtangam means eight parts of the body. Eight parts of the body has to touch the ground. That means you are paying a full dandavad or full obeisances to somebody. But out of these eight things or parts of the body, the most important body is the mind inside. Even if the other parts don't touch the ground, still if the body inside the ego has not gone away, the surrender is not complete. Surrender is not complete. So that is why Sashtanga Namaskaram, or the complete obeisances, full obeisances, when it is spoken, it is not just words, it is also the consciousness. And when that happens, when the false ego leaves us, when the false ego leaves a person, only then it can happen. So unless the false ego goes away completely, even our obeisances is not complete. You see? We all pay obeisances to Krishna in the temple, isn't it? But when we pay our obeisances, if the false ego is still present inside, the obeisances is not complete. You may think, oh, I've done it. I've paid my obeisances to Srila Prabhupada. I've paid my obeisances to Krishna, to Ramachandra, to Gauranithai. But if the ego is still inside there, if the ego has not disappeared, that obeisances is incomplete. It's only the body has done it, mind hasn't done it. So that is how complex this obeisances is. So, and that is why, in the next two verses, if you see, a person who has surrendered, what is his state of mind? That's what is spoken in the next two verses. Verse 29 and 30. Let's look at that.
Sarvabhudastamalpanam Sarvabhudani chatmani Ikshade yoga yuktalpam Sarvatra samadarshinam Sarvabhudastamalpanam Sarvabhudani chatmani Ikshade yoga yuktatmam Sarvatra samadarshanam.
And the next verse 30, Krishna is saying that Yomam pashyati sarvatra Sarvam chamai pashyati Tasya hamna pranashyami Sachamena pranashyati Yomam pashyati sarvatra Sarvam jamai pashyati Tasya hamna pranashyami Sajamena pranashyati. Okay, verse 29. Sarvabhudastam almanam Sarvabhudani chalpmani Ikshade yoga yuktalma Sarvatra samabuddhaya samadarshana. A true yogi observes me in all beings and also sees every being in me. Indeed, the self-realized can see me everywhere. self-realized can see me everywhere. So, till we start seeing that, I don't know when that will all happen. And in the next verse, it says,
Yomam pashyati sarvatra sarvam cha mayi pashyati tasyaham na pranashyami sachame na pranashyati. For one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me.
So, there is something like that seeing Krishna everywhere, isn't it? It is Krishna is saying that. Where you see me everywhere in everything and everyone in me. Krishna says, everyone in me and seeing me everywhere. How would we understand this? Thus is that wherever we look, I'm only seeing Krishna, everyone. So Naveen has to become a Krishna and Anil has become Krishna, Vipin has become Krishna. Everyone is Krishna everywhere you look. That's not what it means. So we shouldn't think like that. That is misunderstanding of the verses. In these verses, Krishna is speaking from a spiritual position. You have to realize that, as we saw in the second chapter also. When the spiritual realization happens, before we start seeing Krishna in everyone, we have to see what we are first. First self-realization, then all the other realization will automatically happen. This is the beauty of self-realization. If I have realized myself what I am, then wherever I look, I'll find it is me that who is present in all that body as well. They are not different. This is self-realization. That's what these verses are talking about. When self-realization happens, automatically you don't have to look for Krishna anywhere. Everywhere what you will find is only Krishna. But not on a physical level. On a physical level. But that presence of Krishna in that living entity is experienced by you. If you remember in the Srimad Bhagavatam, this is what the greatest glory of Sukadeva Goswami, isn't it? When Sukadeva Goswami, when he came and when he walked out from there, Yam pravrajandam anubedam apedakrityam dvaibhayeno virahakantara ajuhava putrediden maidaya taravobhinedu tam sarvabhudakhridayam munim anatosmi. That one verse is the proof of this, what Krishna is saying in these verses in the Bhagavad Gita. What is that? Yam pravrajandam. He has Pravrajagandam means Parivrajagan, who has left. Sudeva Goswami has left home and is walking away from home. Vedavyasa Maharshi is calling him back. Anubedam Abheda Krityam. Sudeva Goswami has no more rituals to perform. Remember, we were discussing yesterday so many rituals, what we have to go through. That state is finished for Sudeva Goswami. Rituals have no value, influence on him anymore. Garbhadanam, Vamsavanam, Simantam, Chaulam, Upanayanam, Karnavedam. There is an endless list in the Smriti for everyone to perform. Sudeva Goswami has gone beyond than that. There is no more rituals affected with that. So that's it. When he is going away, Vedavyasa Maharshi says, my dear son, you have not performed your Upanayanam yet. The second initiation, first initiation, all that things. Vedavyasa is calling him back to do all that. No answer. He goes back, goes away. And Sudeva Goswami at that point wanted to show Vedavyas who I am. So instead of him answering, all the trees and plants were answering on behalf of Sudeva Goswami. Why? Sarvabhudakhridayam munimanatosmi. Sarvabhudakhridayam. Through the trees, through the plants, and through everyone, Sudeva Goswami was replying Vedavyas. And that is what Krishna is talking about here. That in the self-realized state, one sees the soul in everyone present at all times and he can communicate through all other souls as well. There is no doubt about that. And the best example is, that is why Srimad Bhagavatam begins with this one statement. Yam pravrajandam anubedam apedakrityam dvaibhayeno virahagadaram ajuhava. Such a personality, Sukadeva Goswami, when he came through, the women were bathing. They never felt ashamed by seeing him. Why? He is in that state. Whereas Vedavyasa hasn't reached that state yet at that point. So that is that difference. So throughout Bhagavatam, you will see examples of this, what Krishna is talking about in this Dhyana Yogam process. How they were all in that state, how they were operating. Jadabharata, Dattatreya Maharshi,
These are all examples of this, what Krishna is talking about here in the Bhagavad Gita. We'll discuss it next Sunday. And tomorrow we'll have the Ishvaranishad also. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.